Of the various promises that he made, President Trump's immigration policies have been some of his most controversial, especially when he pledged to do this.
I will build a great, great wall on our southern border, and I will have Mexico pay for that wall.
Yeah.
Mark my words.
Yeah.
That was President Trump announcing his candidacy back in June 2015. He's maintained that promise since becoming president. In a recent Twitter post, he said that Mexico will, quote, eventually pay for the wall.
But there's still controversy over the cost of the wall and who'll pay for it. President from Mexico, Enrique Peña Nieto, refused to pay for the wall earlier this year and also scrapped his trip to the White House in January.
Now, as Congress works to pass a stopgap funding bill or risk government shutdown, the president is making a case still for funding the wall.
Mordecai Lee joins us now. He's a professor at UW-Milwaukee, where he specializes in government and politics, also a former state legislator. Mordecai, welcome back.
Thanks, Veronica.
So, Mordecai, why is President Trump using this stopgap funding measure coming up to make the case for a border wall?
Well, I guess this just isn't what we learned in, you know, high school civics. What we learned was how a bill becomes a law. Now what we're talking about is it's called a CR, a continuing resolution. In other words, that all funding for the government would expire at the end of this month. But if they pass a CR, then they're continuing to fund it. So the negotiations right now are what will be continued to be funded and what other things will be added to it. And that's where he's putting in his request that they have at least a down payment of some real money to start building the wall.
Now, the way it's being portrayed, Democrats and Republicans were actually playing pretty nice on this one, getting along, and it looked as though there was not going to be a government shutdown in the future. But you throw the border wall into the mix and suddenly everything becomes a lot more contentious. How does that change the ambiance there in Congress?
Well, I think you're right, but probably right now what's going on is going to be very similar to the health care bill. In other words, Democrats are going to be sitting on the sidelines with their arms folded. We're not going to vote for it. There's nothing to talk about. And then the Republicans in both the House and Senate have to generate enough votes on their own to pass it. What happened with the health care bill is that there was the what's called the Freedom Caucus, the Tea Party Caucus. They said they didn't like the bill, and so there weren't enough votes to pass it on the floor. I think what's going on is that the media is hinting that there are some Republicans, that if Democrats are excluded from the picture, there are some Republicans who are either against having a wall or they're against funding it or they're against that much being funded. So I think this is still going to be a kind of intra-Republican fight instead of a bipartisan fight.
And do we know how much the wall is going to cost, or at least what the initial funding request is?
You know, the estimates are sort of what we'd call back-of-the-envelope estimates. I've seen numbers like $20 billion, which, even in Washington, that's serious money. But the White House apparently is trying to be flexible by saying, we just want enough money to start. In other words, sort of a billion here or a billion there. And one would think that that would be much easier to do. But nowadays in Washington, just sort of nothing is easy to do. So the White House is sometimes sort of hard-nosed about its negotiations. Sometimes it's sort of cooperative. It's really hard to read them on a day-to-day basis.
You said you think this is going to ultimately come down to being a fight among Republicans. Can you walk us through what the various factions in the Republican Party might be thinking and what objections they might have?
Well, the New York Times today really prominently played the fact that they had contacted all the Republican members of Congress who have districts that border on Mexico, and that they didn't find a single member of Congress of those districts who was in favor of the wall, period, let alone funding the wall or having a down payment on the wall. And so I think what the reporter was trying to hint, but couldn't say explicitly, was that there are Republicans who are either more moderates and don't think a wall is a good idea or want to have comprehensive immigration reform, and that these various factions are having trouble sort of coalescing around it. I guess what you call a good enough compromise as opposed to a perfect solution in their eyes.
And I guess if there were to be a government shutdown, do we know who it is takes the fall for that shutdown?
Well, I think in this case, it's just so odd, Veronica, because we're used to these government shutdowns where it was Republicans on Capitol Hill and there was a Democratic president, whether we were talking about Bill Clinton years ago or we're talking about President Obama, and that the showdown was a partisan conflict over sort of policy priorities. The last time when it happened under President Obama, it was because there were some Republicans in the House who said, not another dime for the federal government until Obamacare is repealed. And President Obama, of course, said, well, that's a non-starter. And so there was a government shutdown, and public opinion held Republicans responsible for it. And so they felt that they had engaged in a blunder. Now here we've got this odd situation of a Republican majority in the House and Senate and a Republican president. If there were to be a shutdown, which I think is unlikely, it would be wholly on the part of the Republicans. I can't imagine that Democrats would play in the sense of being a factor in it. Probably the most likely thing is that the Republican Party does not want a shutdown. It's bad for their brand. And so it's possible that by Friday night they'll do something that you and I would consider silly. They'll extend government funding for 7 days or a month or something like that, or they'll kick the can down the road. But sometimes it's easier for politicians not to make a big decision than to make one.
Talking to Mordecai Lee right now, professor at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, talking about the stopgap funding measure before Congress and President Trump's push to include border wall funding in that measure. And you mentioned, Mordecai, Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, and there's some talk that President Trump may be looking to leverage subsidies for the Affordable Care Act, saying, you know, I'll give you some subsidies for the ACA, and you give me some funding for the wall with Democrats. Could that work?
I think you're right about the reporting, that that's exactly what the White House has offered Democrats in the Senate and House. But I think that that's something of a non-starter, because what Democrats have been saying, they of course support continuing Obamacare, continuing to support the subsidies for insurance companies. But I think what Democrats are saying is, we wouldn't get much if you're merely giving us subsidies for, let's say, the current year, because you guys want to repeal Obamacare effective, let's say, next year. So for us, this isn't much of a gain. But, Veronica, I think you're onto something, because as far as I can tell, in the Senate, a continuing resolution is subject to what's called a filibuster. In other words, continuing debate that's endless, unless there are 60 votes to end debate. To get 60 votes to end debate on the what's called the CR, the continuing resolution, they would need to get some Democratic votes. So the Democrats do have some leverage, but I think they just want to be sure they're not held responsible for anything.
Does this seem like a unifying proposition for Democrats? You know, it depends on who you believe, but by some reports, the Democratic Party is in disarray. Are they out of touch with the common American? Are they not? What do they agree on? Who should be the face of the new Democratic Party? But it seems like they can all disagree on being against the border wall.
Yeah, it's a unifying concept in their sense, and I think they're still trying to work out what it means to be the minority party. In other words, the model of a minority party from when you look at Republicans during the Obama years was simply no. They were Dr. No, you know, the famous James Bond movie. And so Democrats are saying, well, let's be the party of no. Let's just let Republicans hold all the blame. But I really think that goes against the kind of an internal culture of the Democratic Party of, come on, guys, we have to be responsible. We have to believe in governance. We've got to do our part. Let's be constructive. So I think that's exactly what will be going on behind the scenes, Veronica.
Well, if you look at what's next on President Trump's to-do list, I mean, the border wall is there clearly, but you also have tax reform and maybe a new reform of a health care plan. How could what's happening now affect either of those prospects?
Well, when he said that he gave up on, when the president said that he gave up on repealing Obamacare, he said the next item on the agenda is tax reform. And there really hasn't been much movement on tax reform, in part because Congress has been off for the last 2 weeks. They're reconvening tomorrow. Sort of they're flying into Washington tonight and tomorrow morning. I think beginning tomorrow, we're going to start having a sense of what it is their priority will be. You know, President Trump, for his first 100 days, has gotten the success of a Supreme Court nominee. He's gotten some successes, but a lot of them have been by executive order. In other words, what he can do unilaterally. He hasn't had that much in terms of success with Congress. They passed some bills to repeal some regulations, rules and regulations, but not a lot. So I think they might be feeling a bit frustrated. The sense of timing when you're in the White House is different from when you're sitting on Capitol Hill. So they're a little bit off right now.
Mordecai Lee is our guest right now, professor at UW-Milwaukee, and we're looking at a continuing resolution right now to fund. Congress is working on funding, and President Trump is pushing to include border wall funding.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see Congress approve funding for a border wall between the U.S. and Mexico? Should the White House, should leaders in Congress risk a government shutdown over the issue of the wall? Should Democrats, especially in the Senate, where they can filibuster, compromise and allow the wall to avoid a government shutdown? Call in with your thoughts on the budget and the wall. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue the conversation in just a little bit here on Central Time.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're continuing the conversation with UW-Milwaukee Professor Mordecai Lee, looking at President Trump's push for Congress to approve funding for a border wall and the stopgap funding measure, or maybe risk a government shutdown.
Tell us what you think at 800-642-1234. Do you think Congress should approve funding, and soon, in this continuing resolution for a U.S.-Mexico border wall? Do you think the U.S. will have to cover the cost for it to be built, or do you believe, as the president says, Mexico will ultimately pay for it? Should lawmakers who oppose the wall compromise to avoid a potential government shutdown? Share your thoughts at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we take our first caller now. We have Dana on the line in Cottage Grove. Dana, hi.
Hi, and thank you for taking my call. I just have two questions for your guest. One is, he mentioned that the $20 billion for the wall, estimated cost of the wall, is even high for D.C. standards. What about the $7.1 billion in cash that President Obama gave to Iran? Was that high in accordance with D.C. standards? And then my other question for your guest is, he mentioned that the Republicans will be blamed again for the government shutdown. Are Republicans always blamed for the government shutdown? Do Democrats ever get blamed for anything in his point of view?
Dana, thank you for that call. And Mordecai, what do you want to say to that? And also, there have been times, I believe, when the party who was going for the shutdown was seen as, you know, there's a heroic angle to that, to supporters. What do you say to this one?
Well, I'm glad Dana called, because he added a lot to the mix. Probably the answer to his first question is that the money that he describes as Obama giving Iran was frozen Iranian money in the U.S. bank system that, as part of the nuclear treaty, he unfroze. So in that respect, those dollars aren't the same as sort of tax dollars that would go to pay for the wall. Unless, of course, the president is successful getting Mexico to pay for it. So, you know, there are different kinds of money. The question about the government shutdown, I don't recall an instance where Democrats caused a shutdown in the sense of being blamed for it. Now, sometimes one could say Democrats should be blamed because, let's say, they didn't compromise with Republicans or something like that. But generally speaking, Democrats have not been thinking of government shutdowns as a plus for them if they insisted on it.
Thank you for that call, Dana. And we'll move to Eric in Green Bay. Eric, hello.
Hi. My thought is that I don't think the wall is necessary, and I think there are enough thinking persons in this country that realize that the cost is prohibitive. We have bigger things to worry about, such as North Korea. The policy we've had to this point has worked, and I mean, if we're so afraid of the public perception of us standing up to this and potentially having a government shutdown, then we're obviously no good at getting our message out there, because the Republicans continue to beat us on that game. So if we, out of fear, cooperate with this and there is, you know, this does go forward, you know, we'll be just as much to blame as anybody else.
Eric, thank you for that. And Mordecai, Eric, from a Democratic perspective there, says that there are messaging problems going on and other issues for Democrats. What do you say to Eric?
Well, generally speaking, in American politics, if a president is willing to draw a line in the sand, or maybe we should say a line in the drying concrete, that would be President Trump talking about the wall. This is sort of the absolute bottom line that he wants to accomplish. And so when you're president, you've got lots of tools to try to accomplish something that you're willing to use all of your political chits to accomplish. So I think it's pretty inevitable that Congress, especially because there's a Republican House and Senate, will approve some funding for some kind of wall. I'm guessing that in the long run, it's not going to go for every yard between, you know, the Gulf of Mexico and the Pacific Ocean, that it'll be some kind of a perhaps in some places electronic, in some places it might be physical. But generally speaking, I think we should assume that the members of the Republican Party want their Republican president to be successful, and so that they will ultimately, eventually go along with something.
Eric, thank you for that. And Mordecai, I don't think we talked about actual support for the wall yet. We talked about reservations in Congress, but what do we know about who is supporting the wall, how much support there is for the wall?
Well, it's so interesting that the wall became a very powerful symbolic issue. You might say that Donald Trump went from being an unknown businessman to being president because of that issue. This is his signature issue. And what's so interesting is that one could understand that, let's say, people who live in border states that border on Mexico, that they would have strong opinions about illegal immigration or legal immigration. But what was so interesting about the success of Donald Trump's call for a wall was that it mobilized people around the country. People who live 1,000 miles from Mexico, from the Republican base, were just enthusiastic about this issue. So I think he sort of discovered a new issue of American politics that nobody else had really quite examined or identified. So I do think he will ultimately be successful in some respect about that.
Talking to Mordecai Lee right now from UW-Milwaukee, and we'll go next to Peter in Mount Horeb. Peter, hi.
Hello. I'm calling because I'm in favor of Congress spending the money on building the border wall. And I think that the wall could definitely be built, that we'd have enough, more than enough money to build it. If we were to spend the money that we're spending on Israel, we're spending maybe billions and billions of dollars paying for Israel's border security, we could cut that funding out and then divert it to our own border security. And I think that we'd have enough money not just to build the wall on the Mexican border, we'd be able to build a wall even across the whole Canadian border if we were to completely stop paying for Israel's border security.
Peter, thank you for the call and the thoughts there. Should there be reallocation of existing funds to pay for the wall? Peter's saying maybe even other walls.
Well, I think what Peter is raising is a more basic question, and that's we're so used to from high school civics how a bill becomes a law. You know, it gets introduced, it goes to a committee, there are hearings, there are modifications, there are amendments. Somehow the whole legislative process of debating an issue has gotten collapsed into wording in a continuing resolution. And so when Peter suggests trade-offs or a zero sum of the situation, that only happens in the larger appropriations process, not with a continuing resolution, which really leaves us back at the starting point, and that's that the appropriation process has really become dysfunctional in Washington. It's not working the way it's supposed to.
Well, Peter, thank you for that call. Appreciate it. And next we go to Richard in Milwaukee. Hi, Richard.
Hi, thanks. I'm not sure if your guest was saying that there actually is a possibility of Mexico paying for this wall. I really, my opinion is this is a very grandiose scheme of, and I hate to use this word, but of nationalism and how Donald Trump got elected through the spirit of nationalism. I think the wall is unrealistic. I don't think it's going to do much to stem illegal immigration. And I don't think Mexico is going to pay for a dime of it.
Richard, thanks for that. And at this point, Mordecai, President Trump campaigned saying he would build a wall, that Mexico would pay for it. Right now, he's saying, well, eventually Mexico would pay for it. So in the meantime, the money is not coming from Mexico, but from, I guess, American tax dollars there. So how does that square away with the conversation?
Well, Veronica, you're right on the dot. That's exactly what the situation is. I think for a supportive President Trump, what they would say is, in the long run, if Congress will enact the idea of what's called an import tax, in other words, that we tax imports, then the Trump administration could tax imports from Mexico, use that tax fund to pay for the wall, and that way they'd sort of indirectly be paying for the wall. But that's sort of a triple play in politics. You know, sometimes in politics, things just don't work out the way you hope they do.
Mordecai, we leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Veronica.
That was Mordecai Lee, professor at UW-Milwaukee, where he specializes in government and politics, joining us there to talk about President Trump's request that lawmakers approve funding for a border wall in the stopgap funding measure before Congress right now, or perhaps risk a government shutdown.